بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين حبيب قلوبنا والشفيع ذنوبنا وطبيب نفوسنا أبو القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى أهل بيت الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المنتجبين المظلومين ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين إلى قيام يوم الدين رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. Just for one moment before I begin the lecture, I think we should take a moment to just reflect on how many brothers and sisters, Shia Muslims, are being killed. As mentioned on the news in Iraq, 35 Shia Muslims were killed. In Pakistan, so many Shia Muslims are being killed. And we are very comfortable a lot of times in our own homes and our own comforts of our lives. But we have to remember that when we're talking about these events that happen with these brothers and sisters, they are just that, our brothers. You know, we have to think that my brother has just been killed. My sister has just been killed, has just become shaheed. So please keep that in mind, and the bare minimum, keep the Muslim Ummah in your du'as. And then you can speak out and do that. At minimum, keep them in your du'as. And please recite one more Fatiha with salawat also for Shahid Akbar. InshaAllah, this majlis is dedicated to all of the shuhada, especially the Muslimin who are the lovers of the Ahlul Bayt, who in this day and age, a lot of them are not alive today to be able to continue to commemorate the Ahlul Bayt. The topic, inshaAllah, for the next couple of nights, each day will be a different topic. Tonight's topic is about heroism. The Ahlul Bayt and what transpired in Karbala, these is nothing short of the definition of what it means to be a champion or a hero. Obviously, in Islam, the definition of what someone is becomes great or heroic for is very different than the definition of Hollywood. Someone's a hero in a movie, and they come back so they can be in the next sequel and the next sequel, and there can be more money made. These real heroes, they give everything and they sacrifice everything. They set real examples in very real situations. So I want to illustrate what does that mean, this heroism of Imam Hussein. And when we mourn for their heroic fight for justice and this revolution, one of the things that the ulama emphasize on is that we're not just mourning or remembering how well they fought. That a lot of times we focus on how strong Hazrat Abbas was, or how many of the enemies that they killed, but just the fighting is not the only focus that we're remembering. If we just focused on the fighter, that was the goal, then we'd have to remember whenever anyone fought well. Anytime there was someone and they fought well, then that should be something to remember. So there's something more to that. Just the same as they mention about crying for the tragedy of the Ahlul Bayt. Is tragedy itself the reason why we cry? Because if we say that we cry simply because of tragedy, then it means that whenever there is a tragedy, we should have majlis and we should cry. For any tragedy, for any person. So there's something special and different about the Ahlul Bayt and what they went through that makes remembering them different and special. What we cry about and what we mourn is the disrespect or the dignity or the honor of the Ahlul Bayt, the respect of the Ahlul Bayt rather, which the enemies of Islam tried to remove or tried to destroy. And that is what angers our hearts. That is what brings tears to our hearts. Even we have some hadith that mention that the shuhada of Karbala, that they did not suffer pain. Some hadith mentioned that. It is not their pain that we're crying for. We're crying because what they represent is everything in the universe that is good. They represent everything that is haq, everything that is justice, and anything that's opposing that or trying to destroy that, they're trying to destroy humanity. So this is one of the reasons why we mourn. They, not only was there a fight, but their fight was with ikhlas and sincerity. Their intentions were for only for the sake of Allah. Their actions were only for the sake of saving Islam. And this is why we mourn for them. Now, one of the questions that really displays and illustrates what this heroism of the Ahlul Bayt is a question that comes up sometimes, because we have some traditions that mention that the angels or the jinns or help came to Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Why did he not take that help to destroy the enemy? Or why did he refuse them? This is a very good question. Some people would say, well, if he took that help, he would have easily became victorious. First, before we answer the question, I want to look at just two or three hadiths that cite this instance. And one hadith from Sheikh Mufid, it's in Bahar al-Anwar, he narrates from Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. And mentions from the time that they were leaving Medina, it says a group of jinn, they came to Imam Hussein. A group of Shia jinn, as the jinns amongst them, and mentions as in the Quran that they heard the Quran, many became Muslim, so they have different factions amongst themselves. It says a group of the Shia jinn, they came to Imam Hussein alayhi salam, and they said to him that, we want to help you, we want to offer our help and our assistance in fighting the enemy. Imam Hussein thanked them. He said, may Allah bless you for your offering to help, but I am responsible for my own duties and the time and place that I am going to become shaheed or be martyred has already been determined. The jinn that replied, this group of jinn, they said, if you would have allowed us, we would have come and wiped out all of the enemies. Imam Hussein alayhi salam, he paid very good attention to this point. He says, we ourselves are more capable of doing that. He says, we're more capable. The power that the Ahlul Bayt have by the permission of Allah is more than that. More than ins and jinn. He said, if we wanted to do that, we could do that. We refrain from doing that. We ourselves do not want to do that. He says, and he explains the reason why to this group of jinn. He says, so the people who go astray and the people who stand on the right path, that they are very clear that they are on the wrong path. And he says the people who are on the right, that they are also very clear about why they are on the right. If there were a group of jinns involved and they were helping in this situation, you could see how that would make someone's judgment very cloudy. Maybe some people would say, well, maybe I should be on this side. maybe I should join them, but not for the right reason. Maybe because they were afraid of jinns. But Imam Hussein says, I wanted to be very clear where haq stands and where batil stands. So the people who do wrong, they don't have any excuse anymore. And those who are on the right side, they are definitely with haq and on the right side. In another hadith, it mentions, in the second hadith, it mentions in Luhuf, from Sayyid Ibn Tawus, it mentions, and it also narrates from Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. Imam Sadiq says, my father said to me, when Imam Hussein confronted Umar ibn Sa'd and the battle began, he says, Allah sent help to Imam Hussein. When this help came to Imam Hussein, at that moment Imam Hussein had an option, he had a choice. He could take victory in this help and he could win the battle, or he could choose to meet with Allah. And he says that Imam Hussein alayhi salam, he chose liqa Allah and to return to his Lord. The same way the angels, they had Imam. These 4,000 angels, Imam told them at that, they are not Imam.
purpose?
What was the ultimate purpose of Imam Hussein alayhi salam? It says his ultimate purpose was to awake the Muslim Ummah. That was his ultimate purpose. And that could best be achieved by becoming shaheed. Look at how the awakenings in the Muslim world, what they were referring to as the Arab Spring instead of the Islamic Spring, but look at the awakenings that occurred in the Muslim world, or the level of revolution that was taking place, that is kind of still happening and in the works. This, when there is martyrdom and people are willing to give their lives, again, that illustrates that they feel 100% that they are in the truth or on haq. You know, in 2005, there's an article that in 2005, 5,500 troops had run away from the war, U.S. troops had run away from that war in Iraq. When they would ask them what was the reason why, we don't know why we're there. We don't have any sense of purpose, and we don't want to give our lives. We don't believe in that cause. So when you believe in something, wholeheartedly 100%, if it means that it caused shahada, then you welcome that. That's the second reason. The third reason that it mentions, please recite one loud salawat. It mentions that Imam Hussein saw nothing more beautiful than shahadat. Just like when Yazid wanted to mock the movement of Imam Hussein and he says to Hazrat Zainab, what did she reply? Ma ra'itu illa jamila. I saw nothing but beauty. Shahadat is the most beautiful thing. So Imam Hussein, he says that this is beautiful for him. Why would I not want to become shaheed? He says in his sermon that he makes in Mecca as they depart to go to Iraq. He says that the zenith, the adornment of death for mankind, for a human being, is like the beauty of a necklace for a girl. That she may look at this and say, this is a beautiful thing. It's valuable. It beautifies me. That he looked at shahadat and death in the way of Allah. If I have to wear this necklace in the way of Allah, then that's beautiful for me, Imam Hussein says. It's not that the martyrs of Karbala or Imam Hussein alayhi salam, that he looked at it as martyrdom as a restriction, or that it's the end, or it's a boundary, or it's something bad. The same example we can use when Prophet Ibrahim was thrown into the fire, and when Angel Jibrail came and offered the help, he said, I only trust in my Lord. He's going to take care of me. So there was a sense that they were had complete trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The fourth thing that is mentioned about the reason why Imam Hussein did not accept this aid was his eagerness and his love to meet again with the Prophet of Allah. He says, I was eager to meet with the Prophet of Allah, to meet with Jaddi, with my grandfather, the same way that Yaqub was eager to meet with Yusuf. The way that for all those years he thought about the child that he loved, and it consumed him. That was something that he always wanted. He was so happy to have the opportunity to meet his son again. He says, I think about meeting my grandfather like this. Finally, the last reason, and probably the most important reason, which explains the heroism and the championship of Imam Hussein, is that he wanted to achieve his martyrdom and his victory in all humanly as possible, with all human circumstances. Yes, we do believe that the Ahlul Bayt and the Imams, they have the ability that if they ask Allah for the idh and permission, they can control whatever things are created. Everything will become subservient to them. The trees, the ocean, the people. If they want to command that, they'll work with the will of Allah. But the reason why Imam Hussein says, I won't do that, is for us right now, today, to be able to understand what does it mean to fight for freedom. If Imam Hussein had, with a single word or name of Allah, completely destroyed the enemies, like he told the jinn, we're more capable of that. If he had, with one single name of Allah, completely annihilated 30,000 troops, what would happen is every Muslim and every movement from there on would say that, well, our situation is not like Imam Hussein's. We can't do that. We can't apply and be the same type of people who stand for justice, because when Imam Hussein stood for justice, he had superpowers. So he had to do his revolution in a way and lead the revolution in a way that everyone moving forward in time could be able to look back and say, I learned from Imam Hussein how to achieve victory. Did Gandhi say that? I looked and saw that this is the way to achieve victory. That even despite his ability, he chose to go in the most humanly fashion. We use all of the circumstances. Could not Imam Hussein have done something to make water come to them? That's not at all far-fetched. It's easy for them by the will of Allah. And this is why when those angels came and asked Imam Hussein, it mentions in another place in Luhuf, it says that the angels came with heavenly horses and weaponry, whatever kind of weaponry that is. But they came to Imam Hussein, and what he said to them was that he didn't want to use this kind of force or this kind of ability. He had that option to say, I'm going to take these angels and destroy all of these enemies. But again, the whole point and focus was the vision of Islam, the outcome of Islam, and the long run, what will become of Islam. And right now, till today, what you see is that in the name of this same movement of Imam Hussein and Abu Abdullah, people there are inspired. Every Muharram, we have a certain level of inspiration that we get. And we feel that what does it mean for someone to be in that situation and to give everything that they have? What does it mean to be in that situation with your family? What does it mean to be in that situation when you have to bury your child? The most difficult, the most harsh of circumstances, that is what makes Imam Hussein a hero for us. That is the ultimate definition of heroism. That despite all of the difficulties and tragedies that existed, in some kind of way, somehow, he was resilient and he left an example and blueprint for all of humanity that if you want to be successful, then fear no one but Allah, stand up for what's right and what is justice. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala being pleased with you is more better for you than anything else in the world. Please recite one salawat. I don't want to go too long, it's somewhat late already tonight, but let's reflect back in Karbala for a moment. We don't want to forget the events that happened. We don't want to forget the tragedy of Karbala. We were to walk with Imam Hussein for just a moment. When you're in that place, when you are all alone, there is no one left to aid you, no one left to help you, no one left to stand by your side. Where even though you're calling out to people saying, is there anyone left? Is there one single person who loves Allah? Is there any single person who loves the Ahlul Bayt? Anyone who believes in Rasulullah? You say that you're Muslim. Is there a single person who will come and defend the haram of Rasulullah? When there's silence and no answer, and after Imam Hussein himself has to go to the battlefield and leave, and he says his final khidaf is to the women and children, and after he goes to the battlefield and he fights like a lion and hundreds of people surround him, after finally Imam Hussein, he reaches the point where he can fight no longer, where he becomes shaheed, his head is severed from his body. After this, then you think that for people who are enemies of Imam Hussein, are you enemies of haq and righteousness and humanity? Because, wallah, there are animals who would never be this vicious. There is nothing more vicious than what they did even after the martyrdom of Imam Hussein. Umar ibn Sa'd said, who's going to go and trample the body of Abu Abdullah? Who's going to be bold enough to do that? And 10 mal'uns came forth and said, we will trample the body. And they took their horses and the bones of Imam Hussein. It says his back, his spine, his ribs. They crushed them with the hooves of the horses. These mal'uneen, after he's already dead, what more do you want? Is it not tragic enough that you've killed his children? Is it not tragic enough that you've killed his family, his sons? Is it not tragic enough that you've cut off his head? No, we must trample the body of Abu Abdullah al-Hussein. And it says that some of these people were so mal'oon that even after the body was trampled, they came and stole the belonging and clothes of Abu Abdullah. The imamah that he put on his head, it says one mal'oon came and stole this imamah from him. The shirt that he wore, another mal'oon came and stole the shirt. His ring, his pants. They completely took everything from the body of Abu Abdullah. And these mal'oonis, what they suffered. Not this simple, you can get away. When someone themselves, when they are blessed, then even the things that they wear are blessed. Even the place that they walk is blessed. So much so that the person who wore the imam of Imam Hussein, he became insane, he became majnoon. And the person who wore the pants of Imam Hussein, this person, he became falaji, lost his ability to walk. And it mentions that the person who put on the shirt of Imam Hussein, his body became sick, his skin got a disease. And that person who cut off the finger of Imam Hussein to get to the ring of Imam Hussein, this person also suffered. He will suffer in the dunya and the akhirah. And if this is the punishment of those people, what is the punishment of the people who killed Imam Hussein alayhi salam? Sallallahu alayka ya Aba Abdullah. Sallallahu alayka ya Aba Abdullah. Sallallahu alayka ya Madlum bil Karbala. صلى الله عليك يا سيد الشهداء السلام عليك يا أبا عبد الله وعلى الأرواح التي حلت بفنائك عليك مني سلام الله أبدا ما بقيت وبقي الليل والنهار ولجعله الله آخر العهد مني لزيارتكم السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين يا حسين.